Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Q4 and year-ended 31st March 2022 earnings conference call of International Conveyors Limited, organized by Orient Capital. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on the call, we are joined by Mr. Udit Sethia, Non-Executive Director, along with Mr. Prasad Sudhakar Deshpande, Executive Director of International Conveyors Limited. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Udit Sethia, Non-Executive Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening and warm welcome to all the participants. This side, Udit. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the International Conveyors Limited Q4 and FY22 results. I am joined by my colleague, Mr. Prasad Deshpande from International Conveyors and our investor relationship partner, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as company website. As you all are aware, we are hosting this earning conference call for the first time and with an intent to continue this activity regularly to keep our investors and analysts updated about the development in the business. I would now request Mr. Prasad to give a brief description of the company and product we manufacture so that it would be helpful for the participants who are new to the company to understand us a little in detail. Prasad, over to you.
So it's my pleasure just to brief you about the company. ICL was founded in 1973 and is engaged in the manufacturing and marketing of solid woven fabric reinforced PVC, which is basically a polyvinyl chloride, fire retardant anti-static belting. ICL conveyor belting was made in accordance with the British Underground Coal Standards through its licensing arrangement with Candura. ICL had actually a collaboration with Candura up to 1991-92, and when Candura was bought over by our competitor Kenner, this collaboration broke, but then ICL grew after that. We manufacture the most extensive range of the products comprising of type 8 to type 6 that are most suitable for the domestic market and type 3 to type 18, which is more popular in overseas market. When we say about type 3 or type 6 or type 18, it basically talks about the strength of the belt. Like type 3, is the strength of the belt is 3,000 pounds per inch, whereas type 18, when we talk, it's 18,000 pounds per inch. We provide several value-added products in our sales mix and count several demanding multinationals. And we enjoy robust relationship with several reputed Indian as well as international vendors for cost-effective with uninterrupted sourcing of key raw materials. In the field of producing solid woven fire retardant anti-static PVC conveyor belting for underground mining, we are India's largest listed company, having almost 40% market share as far as domestic is concerned. We are ISO 9001:2015 certified company meeting international quality benchmarks. We also enjoy several certifications and endorsement from stringent global regulatory bodies. See, for example, since this belting is going for the underground minings, we need to have a approvals from individual government. For example, if you have to supply to US, if you have to supply to Canada, if you have to supply to Europe, each government, they are having their stringent requirements and we need to have approval from that. And we are happy to inform you that we almost have all the global approvals. We also have two international subsidiaries, International Conveyors America Limited and International Conveyors Australia Limited, and through our subsidiaries we supply to America and Australia. We have more than 3 decades of experience in research and development, manufacturing and marketing of conveyor belting for underground mining operations. We are emerged as a global leader in the conveyor belting products and service, and we are one of the largest manufacturers of solid wound belting in the world and exports almost around 80% of our revenue. Our sound technical base that was built over the years has allowed us to contribute developing technology and know-how to our own resources. As I said, we have almost close to 40% market share in Indian underground PVC conveyor belt market, and we are one of the major suppliers of FRAS is basically a pyritardant anti-static belting for carrying coal and potash. In financial year 2022, company dispatched close to 4,80,000 meters compared to previous year 4,34,000, which is a year-to-year growth of almost 11%. We have a complete product range with the ability to make conveyors up to 3150 kilonewton per meter. See, for example, when we talk about 3150 kilonewton per meter, which is nothing but it's a type 18, which is 18,000 pounds per inch. And we can manufacture belting starting from 600 millimeter to 1800 millimeter. This is the widest product range of solid woven belting available from any of the company. We basically have two manufacturing facilities in India. One is in Aurangabad, which is in Maharashtra, and the other manufacturing facility which we have is in West Bengal, the place called Palta, and which is part of a SEZ. The high standards of quality control and every stage confirming the highest global standard and safety and performance. Our efficient R&D capabilities quickly adapt to our regulatory changes in various countries to aid growth in the exports. The company has regulatory approvals with the products used in underground mines in India, US, UK, Canada, Australia, South Africa and China. Our major export is to US, Australia and Canada, and we are considered as a preferred supplier in the world's largest potash manufacturing companies. And we are also supplying now to UK, South Africa and Latin America. And our next endeavor is to supply to Europe and Central Asia. During 2014 to 2019, we diversified into a new customer segment, because prior to that, we were just concentrating on a coal industry, and then we are diversified even to potash. So ICL forayed in export market to serve the needs of miners of potash, phosphate, etc. in North America as a favorable regulation led to a growth of coal mining in USA. We designed and developed based on the customer requirement. Like, for example, the requirements of potash or the gypsum is slightly different than the coal. So we have developed the products accordingly, and then we started supplying with them. We are also associated with a company called Mato Industries, which is basically from Germany, and they have a headquarter in UK for supplying their fasteners, and we are their sole distributors in India to supply their fasteners and related accessories. We have a depth of engagement leading to customer stickiness, dual stage approval process to be an approved supplier, and long term contracts with approved suppliers to avoid long gestation and the tedious process of approvals for vendors selection. As on date, we have a long term contract with majority of our customers, which is ranging between 5 to 7 years. ICL is constantly working on initiatives that focus on a sustainability, that we produce more green energy than we consume. We have our 5 windmills, which are situated basically in Karnataka, Maharashtra, Gujarat and Andhra Pradesh. And we produce more green energy than we consume. We are always trying to grab the opportunities to maintain our leadership position in the market. Developing nations have observed robust industrialization due to the presence of huge customer base, along with their respective governments implementing policies to attract foreign investment to boost the mining and manufacturing sectors. We are future ready. Our strategy and endeavor is to enhance customer base in US and Canada where ICL is already enjoying significant customer relationship, penetrate further into Australia underground coal mining segment to grow in South Africa market, start supplies to Europe, which we already started now, and then start working with Central Asia. Over the period, the commodity sector has been under capitalized growth in capacities and envisage higher demand generation for our products across the sector, thus diversifying order books from multiple industries. Recently, we also started supplying it to the cement industries and other aggregate industries like crusher industry and other peer. So we are not just restricting to the coal and potash, but now we are diversifying to other industries also. So that's about brief about ICL, and then I think it's open for discussion.
So let me just quickly take through the key financial highlights for the quarter as well as the year ended. Total revenue in FY22 grew by 21% on year-on-year basis to ₹205 crore for financial year 2022, which was as against 169 crores in financial year 21. In Q4, we reported a revenue of ₹58 crore, growth of 7% year-on-year. Revenue as per geography for financial year 2022, domestic revenue grew by 25% on year-on-year basis to ₹37 crore, and export revenue grew by 21% on year-on-year basis to ₹169 crore. The company reported gross margin of 36.7% for the year ended 2022, against the 42.2% for financial year 21. The dip in the gross margin is largely to the volatile commodity market and the increase in the logistic cost in the last few quarters. So have you heard me? Let me repeat the last sentence once again. The company reported the gross margin of 36.7% for the year ended March 2022 against 42.2% for the financial year 21. So broadly, the reason for the dip in the gross margins are volatile commodity prices as well as the logistic price uncertainty in the last few quarters. EBITDA grew by 2% on year-on-year basis to ₹19.6 crore for financial year 2022, with the margin contraction of 223 basis points to 9.5%. Decline in margin, as told earlier also, is largely because of the volatility in the raw material and logistic expenses. The company reported a PAT margin of 7.9% and profit after tax stood at 16.2 crores year ended March 22, with a degrowth of minus 3% over the year ended March 21. Efficiency in working capital management lead to improvement in the working capital days to minus 6 days in the financial year 22 versus plus 6 days in the previous financial year. For the financial year 22, we have repaid debt amounting to ₹26 crore, which led to the debt reduction to around 19 crore for the, which is left over now, versus which was 46 crore in 21. So outflow on account of financial costs will reduce in ongoing financial years. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Muzammil Usmani from Paramount. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. Good afternoon. So I would just want to ask that we have long-term contracts. I just want to understand what's the replacement demand and what's the new demand in the revenue that we generated.
See, for example, when we talk about the demand, it's a mixture of replacement as well as the new demand, because each mines, they have their own blocks, and they also explore the new blocks. So as on date, I think I would expect it's 50-50.
Okay. And so how would we see this grow in the future? Like, what are your
See, as far as coal and potash extracts are concerned, still there are a lot of untapped blocks. So I don't see any change going forward next maybe 10 to 15 years.
Okay. And so what about the potash though?
It's the same with potash because see, potash is mainly the ingredient for the fertilizers. And as far as agriculture is going, potash is having a good prospects. And mainly the potash deposits are mainly in UK, Canada, and to certain extent to Russia. So right now we'll not talk about Russia, but mainly we are concentrating on UK and Canada.
Okay, all right. And so what's the time frame for the replacement?
See, it depends. Basically, it's a marriage between the belt and the structure what we have in the mines. But it can be anything between 3 to 7 years.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nitin Gandhi from Kipps Trade Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. I have three questions. Can you take us like reason for the volatility in EBITDA margin? How do we judge whether we look at EBITDA per meter or continuous basis, or you do your pricing based on a percentage EBITDA margin? So, and what will be the sustainable margin going forward?
Yeah, Udit, would you like to answer?
Yeah. So reason for the volatility is because in the last few quarters, if you see, because post the COVID, still the most of the country demand supply is still not sorted. So volatility in the commodities is reasonably, which was unseen in last decade or so. So we see that this volatility to continue for a while, but it's not so bad as it used to be in say 3-4 quarters back. But it should be the same way. But we are seeing a sign of moderation, but I'm not sure how long it will take because the way the geopolitical situation changes, things keep changing. From the logistics side, things started cooling down, but it is too far from the normal. But saying that, we are optimistic that coming quarters will be from the cost perspective, it will not bring any further surprises for us. So far as pricings are concerned, so we follow a very distinctive prices by the customers. So largely, it's a material, it's a supply plus logistic. So technically, we are on an FOB model with most of our customers. So we are responsible to utilize up till the port of India. So that really saves us from the volatility in the freight to a reasonable extent. So saying that, we have a either a monthly or a 6-yearly contract where we revise the price. This is the pre-agreed formula of the movement of the price from the international indices. So I believe that answers the questions.
So it works on EBITDA percentage basis and not EBITDA per meter.
So when you say EBITDA percentage basis, they are concerned with the cost movement. So we have agreed formula for the cost. So this is which the cost changes with us.
Yes, so that's what I was saying, that if your cost is passed through, then your EBITDA per meter should remain constant at least for irrespective of the price volatility for your RMs.
So the entire cost never get passed through because you can't have the, because today to my mind, Prashant, how many raw materials goes into production?
See, Nitin, for example, we at least have around 10 to 15 raw materials which are going into production. And what Udit was saying is that like we have a contract with our all customers where the price gets either increased or decreased based on the indices movement on a 6-monthly basis. So there could be some period of a month or so when there will be no overlap. You cannot directly correlate with EBITDA per meter.
So, it's if it's there, in that case, double digit EBITDA should be most of the time assured, right?
That's right.
Okay. The second question is, there's a huge loans which has been extended in 22. So what are their natures and how are they going to generate benefits for the company over? It's almost 5 crore has moved to 91 crores.
So these are the loans given by the company under the respective approvals, and they are having given under market ICDs rate. So they will give a they will give a market rate return to the company.
So these are basically ICDs only, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But, can you share also something on a tax rate? Because 21-22 tax rates are materially different, and how are they going to be sustainable for tax rate for 23-24?
So, this tax rate will be 23-24% only for us. Because we have opted for a new regime, so we will be under a new regime for this.
So you have diverted, migrated in 21, right? Or 22? New tax rate?
With last year we migrated.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Poda from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, can you throw some light on the tailwind or the opportunity that we see in the sector or the industries we are catering to, given by the commodity cycle that we have been seeing for last maybe one to two years? And in light of that, how do we see our revenue growth going forward?
Udit, would like to answer?
Yeah, Prasad, you continue, please. I will add.
Historically, if you see, we are mainly concentrating on only our coal industry. But then, diversifying our portfolio, we started supplying it to the potash industry. Now we are supplying it to the gypsum industry. Recently, we also started supplying it to the cement industry. So, if we talk about the growth, yeah, we have a good growth prospect taking into the infrastructure development which is happening within India as well as across the globe. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. But I was able to answer your question.
So I was just trying to understand the infra development in India and across the globe. So in terms of order book, how do we see the order book accretion basically?
See, I'll not able to tell you exactly in rupees crore or month, but we have a good order books.
Okay, understood. And how do we see revenue growth FY23?
No, it should be quite good.
Okay, similar to what we have done this year, at least 20%?
It should be quite good.
Okay, like similar to what we have done this year, like 20% plus kind of a growth?
We can't comment on that.
No, we will not able to comment on that, but the future is good.
Okay, no problem. Okay, all the very best. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that all our network is either invested in related parties in the form of investments or loans. Sir, whereas the company has taken external debt on its balance sheet and is giving loans and making investment in related party companies. So, I don't understand that what is there for minority shareholders in this company.
There is no external debt in the company. So, technically, all the loans, etc. has been retired. And now, company is debt-free. The only thing that is there is a working capital. Apart from that, nothing is due to the market.
So, sir, I understand that Elpro International has received a lot of money from sale of stake in insurance company. So now, can we get this money back, our whole network back? Can we do some kind of share buyback or reinvest the money in its core business rather than doing NBFC activities for promoter group companies?
So you are asking question for Elpro or ICL, because ICL or Elpro doesn't owe each other a single penny.
So this loans and the investment has been done in which company?
So that has been done as per reported in the contract. Whatever is reported, because any related party disclosure are there, so that is very much there. But
so basically, just to get clarity, so this 119 crore investment, non-current investment, is in mutual funds or are basically not in Elpro International or any promoter group company. Is it so?
Is it not in, this is not in Elpro International?
Okay, okay. And sir, this 90 crore loan that we have given, sir, is this to promoter group company?
That will be as per the disclosures.
Sir, basically, why aren't we doing a share buyback when we have so much liquidity surplus with us?
That's the call of the board of directors to take, along with the shareholders at later date.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, firstly, if you could give us some understanding on the utilization level at which our plants are operating for FY22 and FY21, and what and how is the utilization level going to shape up for the current year?
Prashant?
Yeah, see, as on date, if you ask me, my plants are operating both, whether it's Aurangabad or whether it's a Calcutta plant. They are operating close to around 70% efficiency, and we are targeting that it should come to around 85% efficiency. So we have still 15% untapped potential.
15% for FY23 additional.
Yeah, I would not say. I mean, it's achievable in FY23, but that's our target.
So Saket, what Mr. Prashad want to say? That we have a headroom available depending upon the market condition, demand supply position, we can achieve those headroom easily.
But as per your order booking, we are currently at 70%.
Yeah, we are close to around 65 to 70%, and we are now targeting to go to 85%.
Correct. And the average for FY22 was 70% on a top line of 205 crore.
Yeah, we were at 65 to 70%. That's right.
Okay. So when we look at your raw material consumption to sales, that's a significantly higher portion, sir. On a top line of 205 crore, we have a raw material consumption of 127 crore. So what are the key components, sir, and is it because of the inflationary trends that the raw material consumption to total sale have gone up, or this is just normal?
See, for example, if you talk about the last year, there was an abnormal increase in raw materials because our majority of the raw materials are petroleum-based. Like we talk about a polyester or PVC, all are petroleum-based, and there was an abnormal increase in the raw material. And that's the exact reason why the raw material to sales price has gone up so high. And it took some time for us to pass on that increase to the customer.
Okay. Then on a normal basis, it will be 50% of the total top line?
See, I'm not able to tell you about exact percentage, but yes, it can be more or less anything between 50 to 60%.
And the major constituents are the PVC only, the petroleum products.
See, basically, we are talking about a textile and chemical, so it's either polyester or PVC, but both are petroleum-based.
Okay.
And maybe a year back, we had a contract with our customer to have a price escalation formula based on the indices on a yearly basis. Now, because of the volatility, we have changed that to 6-month basis. So every 6 months, our prices will go up or down based on the indices.
And where are we sourcing our raw materials from? From the domestic supplier domestically only, and with whom?
It could be, I would say, 50-50. 50 is domestic, 50 is import.
Okay, and 50% is it from the, which company you are sourcing your raw materials?
So it's from different countries. It's from Europe, it's from China, it's from Thailand, it's from Norway.
Right, sir. Domestically, which company, sir? इंडिया में किससे आप रॉ मटेरियल परचेज करते
हैं? Basically, for example, if you talk about our main raw material is polyester, which we can buy from SRF, we can buy from Reliance. As far as PVC is concerned, we are buying from Phenolex or Sunmark Cremplast.
Right, sir. So when you spoke about the conveyor belt for coal and potash, potash is I think mainly dependent on the from the foreign market. In coal, sir, how much is from the Coal India and how much is from the private sector? What portion of your business you are garnering from Coal India?
See, for example, I think if you must have seen our commentary, we have almost 40% market share in India. And as far as Coal India is concerned, it's a tender-based business. So we have a substantial presence within Coal India. And as well as private parties are concerned, we are also regularly supplying it to the private parties.
Correct. Can you give us some peer comparison? Yes, last point, I'll come in the queue. I have a couple of more questions, but anyway, so for the peer comparison for our better understanding, which are the companies in the in your sector?
See, for example, just to name few, as far as private companies are concerned, we are supplying it to Singrani Colliery, we are supplying it to Tata Steel, we are supplying it to Earth Coal.
So I was asking your competitors. Your peer comparison, you are in the line of business that you are operating, any likewise comparison or nearest competitor with whom you compete?
The major competition we have with a company called Penner, which is a part of a big umbrella. Now it's a part of a Michelin. So
Penner, come again.
Competitors, whether it's a domestic or whether it's a global.
Sir, come again, I missed your point, sir.
So there's a company called Tenor, which is now part of a Michelin group.
Okay. Tenor.
They are a competitor either domestic or global.
Okay, what are you saying? Tenor. S-E-N-N-E-R.
Tenor. S-E-N-N-E-R, yes. Okay. Which is part of a Michelin. Michelin tire company.
Okay. Right. Sir, come in the queue. 2-3 points are left.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Shah from AT Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me this opportunity. So my question is more on the freight cost, given the current global supply challenges that we are seeing and the rising crude prices. How are we seeing the freight cost for our business? And just to follow up on that, how are we able to pass on this increase to customers?
Just to answer your question, I mean, that's exactly a right question, because right now the way freight costs are going up, it's anybody's guess ki kya hoga. Majority of our business we are doing on a FOB basis, so we don't have to bother for the freight cost, because the freight is borne by the customer. But yes, few of our customers where we are supplying on a GDP basis, we have issues with the freight cost, and we are trying to negotiate that. And to certain extent, we were able to pass on that to our customers. But to certain extent, like for example, if you see our margins have dropped down, it's mainly because of the freight.
Okay, and you continue to see that currently as well.
Now the freight costs have started coming down.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, thank you, sir. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jayesh Parma from Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I just wanted to know...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Parma, your line is not clear.
Hello?
Mr. Parma, there is a lot of disturbance from your line. We are not able to hear you clearly. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Hinduja, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. I have a couple of questions. Do you have any capex plans for this year, sir? As we are already operating at 70% and we aspire to be at 85% in the coming year. Do we have any also, we have any capex plans?
So as of now, for this financial year, we don't foresee any capex plan because we really want to consistently achieve the capacity, and we are in no rush to decide on immediate basis on the capex plan because we have a lot of headroom to cover now.
That's right.
And I have got one more question. As on 31st March 2021 in the annual report, we had an equity investment in Elpro International, and it amounted to 111 crores. So, we have the same investment even in the current year, or it has been liquidated?
It has been liquidated in the last financial year only.
Okay, it has been liquidated in the last financial year. And one last question, sir. The loan of rupees 90 crores that we have given, is it to
non-promoter entity? No, it has been to the parties disclosed in the detail. It is to listed parties as well as some non-promoter entity also.
Okay, thank you. And at what interest rate it has been given?
The market rate interest.
Okay, fine, thank you. I'll come back in the queue if I have any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how much percentage of our revenue comes from the long-term contracts?
Prasad?
Yeah, see, for example, majority of our customers, we have a long-term contract. Majority of the customers. So, I'll not able to tell you exactly on the percentage wise, but majority long term contracts, which is ranging between 5 to 7 years.
Okay, fine. And sir, of this our major product PVC belting, so what would be the global market size?
It's a $1 million question to answer, because even till date I'm not able to understand what is exactly the market size. Because see, the belting is a big arena. Where you have a PVC market, we have a rubber belting market, you have a steel cord belting market. So I'm exactly not sure the market size.
Okay. And sir, in terms of products, as you said, PVC and the rubber belting, so are these other products meant like rubber belting or any other products, can these be a substitute for our PVC belting products, or it will be entirely different in terms of usage?
No, see, it can be. But they have their own advantage and disadvantage. See, for example, as far as rubber belting is concerned, you have an N number of layers of the fabric. Whereas PVC belting is concerned, it's a single fabric. So always in a case of rubber belting, you have issues related to separation of the different fabric layers, which is not there in the PVC belting. Secondly, the advantage of PVC is mainly in underground, because PVC is having an inherent property of fire retardancy, which rubber doesn't have.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, one last question. So, given this potash industry is witnessing a very strong growth, so next 2 to 3 years, can we say the similar kind of a growth rates will continue on the revenue side?
I anticipate. I'm not able to comment on anything, but I anticipate, yes.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question for today. And I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Udit Sethia for closing comments.
So we really thank everyone for participating and asking such insightful questions. And we are looking forward to coming back again on a frequent basis. And then we are very, in case anything which we are unable to answer, please reach out to Orient people. They will really help us in getting those clarifications sorted. And we are very thankful and wish you all a great health and happy times ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Orient Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.